the seeds of rest. The seeds of rest. Joshua chapter 21. If you join the prayer altar, we've been reading this, and I suggested to people to read it every day. See, the days that are coming, you need to have an anchor. You need to have scriptures that you're holding on to. You cannot stand alone. Nobody is standing alone. Everybody is standing on something. Make sure that what you are standing on can carry you. That's why you have to be intentional about what you stand on. And this is something to stand on this month. Joshua chapter 21, from verse 43 downwards. Joshua chapter 21. 43 downwards. The Bible says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. That's somebody's prophecy. You are taking possession of it, and then you are going to dwell in it. Oh, you didn't hear me. You are taking possession of it, and you are going to dwell in it. That means you will not just have it as a promise. You will have it as an actual thing. The miracle is in my hand. The baby is in my hand. The job is in my hand. I have the residency. I am now with the green card holder, the citizen holder, whatever. I have the wife. I have the husband. If I'm talking to you, you should be saying a big amen. Amen. Verse 44. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken. God can give you 100%. He says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Adewale. Did you see it there? It's there. Okay, let me go. You see yourself there now. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to Victory House. Oh Lord, it didn't get that. Let me say it one more time. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to Victory House. Can somebody read the last part? Can we even stand up? Can we stand up with faith in our heart, with gladness in our heart, with gratitude to what God will do? Because 2022 will end better than it began. The devil will not win. We win. It is a victory all the way. I know you got that report. I know that the diagnosis was not good. I know that the exam didn't look quite like it. The interview didn't go the way you wanted it to go. But read this loud and clear. Let God hear you. Let the devil hear you. Let yourself hear yourself. Let's go together. 1, 2, 3, go. All came to pass. One more time. All came to pass. With the last time with faith. All came to pass. Amen. You may please be seated. Seeds of rest. One more scripture and we'll just roll. Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28-30. Matthew 11:28-30. Bible says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All right. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read some other translation of that same scripture. The TPT's translation says, are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Come to me, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you will discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Let me read one more translation to you. It says, let me do the message. Is that now? So the message translation goes like this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. God is calling us to a life of living freely and lightly. You see, the statistics are not very good out there. The statistics of depression, the statistics of anxiety, the statistics of worry. The funny things about these statistics is that before now, maybe before even COVID, there's a large population of that was people that had advanced in age, people that have had many things they've done in life. But it's been found now that even the younger people, many things that you used to see with older people before, you find it with younger people now. In fact, now there are many teen suicide, people who have not really done anything and they are killing themselves. Why are you killing yourself? What are you killing yourself for? How many things have failed in your hands? You are just 19 years old, you are just 15 years old, and you feel that your life is a waste. How long have you lived to see failure? You don't even know the definition of failure, because how many things have you tried? But you see, the devil is selling plenty lies. The devil is transacting in a lot of lies, and nobody is spared. You are not spared, I'm not spared. Every time you open the news, every time you watch, go on social media, there is abundance of bad news. There is abundance of something that will put pressure on you. There's abundance of what will steal your joy. There's abundance of what will steal your rest. Sometimes when you listen to the news, it's like every day there's a police report that says people are being killed. Every day there's a police report that says something funny happened. Some things that you wouldn't even hear in some part of town, you are hearing in those part of town. So life is looking like more complicated. Life is looking more stressful. There are many people that are stressed out by Monday afternoon. They are so stressed out that you wonder how they're going to get to the end of the week. They feel like Friday afternoon or Monday by 12 noon. The day has just started, the week has just started, but life has stretched them. Life has done all kinds of things to them. And you see, when you begin to see all this kind of problem of human beings, you now begin to understand when there is an avenue for rest. The reason for rest will now have a new meaning. Rest will now be powerful. Rest will now be useful, because you see, it is possible to have everything that people think will give them rest and still not be restful. You can have a bed and still not have a restful sleep. You can even sleep and not wake up rested. There are people that sleep, there are people that take even vacation, but their mind is racing, their minds and their head is playing tricks on them. So when Jesus is speaking in this place, he's speaking to you, my brother. When Jesus is speaking in this place, he's speaking to you, my sister. And this is not just one empty claim. This is not just one Christian word. This is not just something that Jesus is just offering, this kind of esoteric something that you cannot hold, something that is not useful, something that is only for heaven. This rest is also for here. And Jesus is saying this morning, come. He's saying this morning, come. So you see, I found out that you will be stressed if your response is not guided by someone that is secured in rest himself. If your response to life is guided by any other thing apart from the one who calls himself rest, apart from the one who himself was instrumental to the first Sabbath, you will not have a Sabbath in your life. You know, it was instrumental. For me, I was just thinking about this whole rest, and I saw that most of the time we talk about the fact that God created the earth in 6 days, which is true, and on the seventh day it rested. But do you know that that seventh day, that rest was also a creation? He created a pattern of rest. He brought rest, because up till that time we didn't know that there was rest. And you remember that he was not resting because he was tired, because he cannot grow weary or get tired. He was resting to say something, that rest is in me. He was resting to say something, that I create rest. Just the way I created heaven and earth, I create rest. So when there is rest missing, if you come back to the God of creation, that God will still give you rest. Listen to me, child of God. I don't know where you are troubled, but I decree and declare, let rest rest upon you in the name of Jesus. So this morning, I want to start looking at what I call the seeds of rest. I don't have a lot of time, so I'll take part of what I was going to say this morning, and then I'll continue next week. Seeds of rest. In this story, or in this scripture that Jesus, we read about Jesus, because this is Jesus speaking here. Jesus was speaking to a people that were troubled, and this trouble does not have to be external alone. Because you see, the external trouble is not as big as the internal trouble. So there is possibility for you to be in an atmosphere, in a place where there is external peace or external non-lack of trouble. But when there is an internal trouble, it's going to make you still be in trouble. In fact, you are more in trouble when you have internal trouble than external trouble. And there are too many people, they have money in their pocket, but they have trouble in their heart. They have trouble internally. So the money does not matter. And so many people have believed the lie of the devil that anything external is the one that will solve the internal trouble. Let me tell you the truth. It is a lie. It's a myth, a myth of destination that God, the devil, is selling to this generation, that when I get married, I will have rest. When I have babies, I will have rest. When I have that job, I will have rest. When I have that thing, I will have rest. Let me bust your bubble. There is nothing you have that gives you rest. It is someone that you have that gives you rest. If you have a thing and you don't have that someone, you do not have rest. Because rest originally started in God, and it's still God that's still dispensing rest. So Jesus was telling these people, this is how to get rest. And the first thing he says is this: come. What are the seeds of rest? The first is seed of rest is to come. To come to what? Is it to come to church? No. Is it to come to a rite? No. Is it to come to a set of rules? No. Is it to come to a program? No. Is it to come to prayer? No. It's to come to him. Because many people come to every other thing, but they don't come to him. You can come to church, but you didn't come to him. You can come to a program, but you didn't come to him. You can come to a Christian rite, fasting and prayer, but you didn't come to him. You know that the people that were calling down fire in Elijah's time, when they were saying fire should come down from heaven, the Bible said they were fasting. They were even sacrificing, cutting their body, doing all kind of stuff. And the Bible said the fire did not come. So performing rites does not mean that you have come to him. So Jesus is saying here, you have to come to him. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to play church. You don't have to come to a rite. You don't have to come to a confession. You don't have to even come to anything natural, anything seen or unseen, so to say. You have to come to a person. Jesus was the one speaking with another person in John chapter 4. He met this woman. This woman has had a very eventful and colorful life. Her life has been very, very busy. Like many of us, our 2022 has been busy. We've had all kinds of heartbreaks and breakups and all kinds of ups and oops and all kinds of things has happened to us, and everything looks jammed, and you are wondering, how can this be? And this woman met Jesus. Like many of us, sometimes when we come to him, we come with many stories in our head. We come with many ideas. Some people will even be talking Christianese and talking church. You know what they say there, but you know you lack rest. You know what they are talking about there, but you don't have that internal peace inside of you. And that's what was happening with this woman. The Bible said this woman was telling Jesus history and geography. Like some people come before God and come to church and begin to tell God all kinds of history and geography. And this woman was saying all of that, and Jesus caught her in her tracks and tells her some things that she didn't know that Jesus will know about. And Jesus now made a profound statement in John chapter 4 and verse 24. Let's read that scripture. John chapter 4, 24. I can quote it, but let's just read it. John chapter 4 and verse 24. The Bible says, God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is spirit, and you must connect at the wavelength of God. You cannot connect at any other wavelength. You cannot even connect at the wavelength that you wanted to connect at. You have to connect to him as a personality and allow him to become who he is supposed to become in your life. But you have to come. You have to come with your failures. You have to come with your insecurity. You have to open up to him. You have to allow him. You have to permit him. That come is an invitation to become vulnerable. There are too many of us, because we have dealt with men and men have failed us. We have dealt with human beings and human beings have failed us. We think God is like men. God is not a man. Yes, there was a time God became a man, but God is not a man. He doesn't do what men do. He doesn't feel like a man. So when he's saying you should come, you can open up. You can be vulnerable. You'll be surprised that there are so many people, even with God, they are not vulnerable. And God is saying, as much as I want to help you, I am not a demon. As much as I would like to do things for you, I will require that you will join me. And the first seed that you need to put on the table before there needs to be a germination of this seed is the seed of come. What does it mean to come? It means to surrender to him. It means to yield to him. Because you see, it is that yielding to him, it is that allowing him, it is that permitting him that makes what he wants to grow to grow. The Bible speaking in John chapter 12 and verse 24, the Bible says that a corn of wheat will abide alone except it dies. In another word, a corn of wheat will only grow or become many. There will be harvest from that seed when the corn yields to the soil. So God is saying, you have to yield to me. You have to be vulnerable with me. You have to accept my own. You have to believe me. Don't only play church. Don't try to figure everything out by yourself. Let me help you. And ladies and gentlemen, if there was a time people of God should hear this, it is now. They need to allow God to help them. Many people do not allow God to help them. It may sound like, wow, Pastor, what are you talking about? I know what I'm talking about. Many times we say, God help me. But when we say, God help me, we now step out of the boat, get into the water, and start getting very active and trying to do all things by ourselves. But God is saying this morning, come unto me, let me, allow me. When you allow me, I will be able to do stuff. I will be able to help you. Rest will only come, not because it's available, not because it's obtainable, but because you permit me. Many of us are not permitting him enough. How do I know that? Because we worry. Worry is one telltale sign to tell me that you have not allowed him. Look at this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. The Bible says, actually let's start from verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I was reading a commentary about this scripture, and the man of God was kind of walking through the Greek word or the Greek rendition, and he said this chapter, verse 6 and verse 7, is supposed to be one sentence. You know, usually when you look at the Bible, sometimes when people see verse 4 and verse 5, they think verse 4 and verse 5 is two different things or two different sentences. Sometimes it's one sentence. This scripture, humble yourself before God. Go back to verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, is connected to casting your cares upon him. That means that when you humble yourself, or when, how we can tell humility is when you cast your cares upon him. We can also tell pride when you don't cast your cares upon him. So when I don't cast my cares, and what does it mean to cast your cares? When you throw your worries at him. But when you keep your worries by yourself, when you are the one doing your worry, when you are the one carrying your concern, when you are the one taking the pressure, when you are the one walking the hours and thinking, how will it happen? How will I get my job? How will I do this? How will I do that? You are behaving like that man who wants to sleep and who is waiting for when he will see that sleep come. When I was younger, sometimes when I want to sleep,
I'll be like, I want to see when sleep will arrive. You know anybody that is waiting to sleep, see when sleep will arrive? We wait in vain. Because if he sees the sleep, he will still be awake. By you sleep by allowing sleep to come, and you know that you have slept when you wake up. But when you are waiting for sleep to come, like many of us, we are waiting, looking for, and you are planning it in your head. Sometimes you may not know how it will happen. Sometimes you may not know how, you may not be able to figure it out. Just like you don't know how it works with the soil. When you throw a seed in the ground, he said, when a man sows the seed in the ground, he said, and the thing begins to germinate, he said, he knows not how. The technique is left to the technician, and God is that technician. So God is saying to today, be humble. Cast your cares on me. Give me your worry. And he said in another translation of that verse 7, I care for you affectionately. I care for you watchfully. I am interested in you in a way that you cannot even imagine. You know, because sometimes the way we figure out God is like, God is this God that you have to press him and will him to do something. Let me tell you the truth. God doesn't do what he doesn't want to do. You can't force a monarch. Nobody tells a king what to do. Kings do what they want to do. If God is mighty on the throne, if God is sitting on the throne, if he does anything, he wanted to do it. And let me tell you the truth, he wants to do you good. How do I know that? John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God not just loved the world, but so loved the world. The emphasis on the dimension and quality and magnanimity of the love. The emphasis is not just that he loves the world, but this love is like scandal. This love is like robbery and fraud. It's like a scam. How can God die for man? How do you need the blood of God to redeem a man? How do you need for God, who created the systems, who created everything? Why doesn't God just tell the devil, look, I redeemed them, forget about it? No, God step down to show so much love. And that's why the psalmist said, excuse me, tell me about man. What is man? Who is this man? Who is this human being? I don't understand. This is not your first kind of creation. You created the heavens and the earth. You populated the heavens with angels. When the angels messed up, you cast them out. But what is this man that God became man so that God can redeem man? God became you so that he can get you. So ladies and gentlemen, how much more he who did not spare his son, how much more shall he not give you everything freely? So the dimension of his love for you, the dimension of his care for you, you can't even fathom it. There are no words for it. The English dictionary, because human beings created it, they don't have the word for it. We say love, but that's very, is, you have to say all kinds of love, you know, steadfast love, you know, sacrificial love, agape love, and all. When you say all of that, you have not still captured it. That's what God has for you. So God really, really loves you. That's why when we're saying that confession, says, I am loved of God. You can say that every morning, and that's enough. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. The value of anything is the price you pay for it. The value on your life is the blood of Jesus. If the value is the blood of God, you are the most price. You are more expensive than the diamonds. You are more expensive than any other thing. So let nobody tell you are not enough. You are enough. You are. God has endowed you. He loves you so much, and he's saying, look, I don't just love you and stand away from you. I want to also help you, but you have to come. You have to be vulnerable. You have to surrender. You have been playing this strong man for too long. You have been behaving like everything is under control, but you have to surrender. You have to willingly surrender. You have to surrender. And it is humility to surrender. That's why 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 was saying, if my people who are called by my name, how we know they humble themselves is when they pray. So when we come before God in prayer, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of casting our cares before him, because he cares for us. And the seed of rest starts with this, come. Come. Come boldly. journey to the throne of grace. But you have to come. You have to come. He's asking you to come. Stop struggling in your own mind. Come. Stop struggling over that marriage. Come. Stop struggling over your finances. Come. Stop struggling over that habit. Come. Let me tell you the truth. The devil is a liar. He always tells you that what you did yesterday is you and you cannot change. And I've come to tell you it's a lie. Come. If you failed yesterday, come still. If you didn't do it well yesterday, come still. Whatever happened, come still. God is that prodigal father in Luke chapter 15. Because the word prodigal is not a bad word. The word prodigal just means lavish. It means extravagant. It doesn't always have to be wasteful. God is extravagant with his love. He's not wasteful in the law. But God is that prodigal father who has been standing and has been waiting for that prodigal son who has wasted or has been lavish with the resources that he has given him and has been worried and has been concerned about too many things. You have worried so much about 2022. You are growing gray hair. You are wondering how A can become C. God knows how to do it. And God is answering you like he answered Mary in Luke chapter 1 and 37. He said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary asked the question, how can these things be? He says, the Holy Ghost. If you hand it to God, it can make it to happen. I don't know how November will still make me to be able to experience the fullness of what God promised in 2022. I don't know how, but I come. I hand it over to you. This my child, I don't know how, but I come. I hand it over to you. This my immigration matter, I hand it over to you. Whatever it is, hand it over to God. But he's asking you to come. You have to surrender. You have to raise up your hand. In war, when you raise up your hand, you have shown that you want God or you want the other party to extend an arm of amnesty to you. You are saying you don't want to fight again. And this morning, that's what I want us to do. There are other seats that I wanted to talk about today, but I'll leave that to next week, because I know we have Thanksgiving service. We're going to dance and sing and all of that in a little bit. But this morning, God is saying you should come. God is asking you to come because I care for you. Don't carry that burden by yourself. Don't put the weight of the world on yourself. There are some of us, we put all the weight of the world on ourselves. No. When you come to him, when you surrender to him, when you look at him, when your response is him, when he becomes, when you throw it on him, when you give the care of that marriage to him, when you give that academic struggle to him, and you relax. Sometimes not even doing anything can be doing something. There are too many of us, since January started, we have been doing too many things, and now we need to relax. We need to be like that person that will get on the water and surrender, relax yourself. That's what they tell us, right? Even though sometimes, even some of us, you think to yourself that I can relax at this level of water, but when I get to that one, 7 feet, I can't relax. So my head is telling me I'm 5 feet so tall. 7 feet means drowning. I'm not going to yield. The same you that seemingly floated in like 4 feet water, you will float in 7 feet. It's the same principle of yielding, of surrender. There are some of us who have surrendered some areas of our life to God. But let me tell you the truth. Every area you don't surrender to God becomes the area that the devil will torment you in. Surrender every area. Finance, surrender it. Marriage, surrender it. Academic, surrender it. Let God be God. Permit him. Sometimes you may not even know what to do till the last minute. Who told you you need to always figure it out? I'm not saying be irresponsible, but I'm telling you that sometimes some people are over-responsible. And in our Bible study groups, we have been learning about stewardship. There is no area of life that you are not a steward. We are all stewards, every area of life, including the areas where they call you the boss. Maybe you are the pastor. Maybe you are the husband. Maybe you are the owner. Forget all of that. You are still a steward as related to God. So make sure that God is always the owner. I'm not the owner of that child. I'm not going to break my neck over it. I'm going to release the child to God. You know, sometimes I used to think about myself that how did my parents raise me? I think one of the ways they raised me was that he's God's child.
Because sometimes I'm like, these people, they don't believe I will turn out right. You know, because there was a time I was telling my, I think it was my mom I was telling. And I was telling her, you don't even check this, you don't check that. And I'm not saying that this is not nice to check some things and be overly responsible over your children. You know, but I just discovered that it's as if they gave me to God and they assumed that God took me. That's what you should do with your children. Give them to God. Don't be afraid that when they go to school, they'll be shot. Don't be afraid that because they are interacting with other people, it will mess up their morality. It will mess up their mind. They're always teaching them bad things. It's not today they've been teaching bad things. No. It's not today. This world has always been bad. Yes, it's looking like it's getting badder or worse. But let me tell you the truth. Hand it over to God. Surrender it to Him.